So I always like to title my talks, as you know. And the title for today is, Do You Have the Heart of Herod? Turn this up. Oh, I'm going to do that. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Uncle Don, you good? Okay. Papa Mike, you're good? Okay. So the title is, Do You Have the Heart of Herod, or Do You Have the Heart of the Magi? So the Magi are the wise men from the East. So a few weeks ago, Sandy and I went down to San Diego. We got to go see a Christmas celebration, Hawaiian style, with Robin. And then we got to go to her church with her. And the visiting pastor was a guy named Will Graham, who you might know as William Franklin Graham IV, the grandson of Billy Graham. And I don't know, just I thought it was interesting. So he has a kid, and his kid's name is William Franklin Graham V, and they call him Quint, because he's the fifth, because they ran out of nicknames, you know, because there's Billy, there's William, there's Franklin, and then there's Will, and now there's Quint. So, FYI. Well, he shared a message from Matthew chapter 2 that I thought would be worth bringing to you, and it's about what happened after Christmas. And the message is about the characters in the Bible, but as usual, the message is relevant to us today. And maybe you'll see the story in a new light. I did. So I'm going to go ahead and read the second chapter of Matthew with you. And I already read the first 11 verses, so I'll just continue from there. So I'll start with verse 11. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Okay, so there's our story. And before we start, let's just consider Herod. So this guy was known as Herod the Great. He ruled Israel starting in 40 BC. And it's interesting because they think he stopped ruling in 4 BC. So our time frame of when Jesus was born isn't really clear, and I've heard some talks on this. He may have been born as early as 6 BC. And, you know, we just don't know the year. So Herod the Great was thought to be enterprising, keen of intellect, a builder of the temple, but also bloodthirsty and cruel. He was the son of Antipater, and he was appointed governor over Coel, Syria. So he wasn't born a king. He started out as a governor, and he advanced from one position to another until he was made the king of an extensive territory. And after his death, his kingdom was divided amongst his three sons. Now, he was full of envy ignorance and fear, and he felt threatened by the birth of Jesus. Even though he was older and he wasn't going to rule for much longer, and there's no way that Jesus would have had time to grow up and then take over his kingdom, he was still jealous. And he was the king of the Jews. That was his title, the king of the Jews. And this was under the Roman Empire. So the Roman emperor actually allowed the Jews to keep a king. They thought it would keep peace in the region. Now, many kings in those days were killed by their sons and by their brothers. And Herod didn't want this Jesus to take his throne. Now, the Magi came to worship Jesus. And this disturbed Herod. And when Herod was disturbed, all the people were disturbed. They didn't know what he might do. And Herod was jealous. So here's our first question for you guys about who are you, Herod or the Magi? And the answer to the question is yes. Who are you, Herod or Magi? Yes. We're both. So what makes you jealous? And the question is, did you miss Christmas? Did you miss Christmas because you were jealous that somebody else received a nicer gift than you? Were you jealous that someone else was able to spend Christmas with family or was able to take time off from work and you couldn't? If we had the attitude of the Magi, our hearts would only be focused on pursuing Jesus. We would be seeking him out. Where can we find him? We want to worship him. We've spent years looking for him. Now I'll digress. Who are these wise men from the East? Well, most biblical scholars think that these wise men came from Babylon, which is now in modern Iraq. And they may have been wise men who were descended from those who were influenced by the teachings of Daniel. Remember, the Jews were over in Iraq, in Babylon, under Nebuchadnezzar. So they were traveling by foot with camels from the east, and that was a slow process. And it may have taken up to 2 years from the time they left Babylon to walk to this little town of Bethlehem or to get to Jerusalem. And the wise men came and brought costly gifts to present to the child. And Herod was jealous, and he wanted to kill him. Proverbs 14:30 teaches us that a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Anybody with rotten bones doesn't want, they know how rotten that is, how terrible that is. Proverbs 23:17 says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day." And the question is, do you sometimes look at what the world has and you want it? Do you sometimes wonder why the people of the world seem to prosper? We are to be like the Magi with a single-mindedness. And I'll quote from Matthew Henry here. "Those who live at the greatest distance from the means of grace often use the most diligence and learn to know the most of Christ and his salvation." And we think of how hungry people are in the world where Christians are being persecuted and how the church thrives in that area and how sometimes where we live in America, where we can worship anywhere, you can go to any church you want today. You can travel all over America and go to church. It's really easy. But how many people go? Now, Herod lived in Israel, and he lived with the wise men of God. He had the great teachers at his side, but he did not make the most of the opportunity that was given to him. Herod could not learn of God with mere human learning. Even when he asked his teachers for help, he still couldn't learn. We must learn of Christ by attending to the Word of God as a light that shines in a dark place, and by seeking the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Herod came to believe in the birth of Jesus. So he had consulted his wise men, and he came to believe. So is that good? Well, it's good to know that Jesus was born and that Jesus lived, but that's not saving faith. That's just knowledge, and that's not what we're after. Herod saw Jesus as a rival. And let me ask you, do you see Jesus as a rival? And at first glance, you're going to say, no, of course not. Jesus is Jesus. He's not my rival. But does your faith sometimes interfere with your ambition or your sinful indulgences? Do you sometimes pursue selfish ideals instead of God's will? We are to be like the Magi. We must not have the dead faith of Herod. Now the Magi were zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 reminds us that love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. So even though Christmas is over, it's not too late for us to change course. We can put away envy and strife. We can pursue Jesus. We can follow after Him. We can seek Him. You may have missed Jesus this Christmas, but there's still time to move forward. Notice for one moment what happened when Herod the Great was troubled. All Jerusalem was troubled with him. So we kind of smile at that, like, oh. But we don't often take notice of the effect we have on others when we are troubled, when we are jealous, when we envy. What happens to those that we love, those that we are close to? They'll be troubled as well. We bring others down. But we don't have to. We can change. We can find Jesus. We can find peace. And the question is, why don't we? Verse 4 tells us, verse 4 in Matthew chapter 2 tells us, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born." This simple statement should be very convicting to Herod. So why, when these wise men come from the east, does Herod the Great, the king of the Jews, have to ask his scribes and Pharisees where Jesus was to be born? Well, it's because he's ignorant. He doesn't know. He didn't know the Holy Scriptures, what they said about the Messiah who was to come. He was so busy with his kingdom and defending his throne that he took no time to pursue God. All right, so do you have the heart of Herod or do you have the heart of the Magi? Because sometimes we get so busy with our kingdom, defending our throne, that we don't take the time to pursue God. He didn't spend time reading God's word. He didn't spend time searching out the scriptures. He relied on the chief priests and the scribes to provide answers to his questions about God. So let me ask you today, do you read your Bible? Do you study your Bible? Do you pursue your personal relationship with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit? Do you sometimes rely on others to kind of, quote-unquote, do the work for you? Do you let somebody else read the Word and study it and bring the good news to you at church on Sundays? Is that the extent of how you pursue God? Herod the Great enjoyed the wisdom of the chief priests and scribes. He likely celebrated the Sabbath and the Jewish high holy days, but his personal relationship with God was messed up by his jealousy, selfishness, and ignorance. The Magi, they're given to us as a sharp contrast to King Herod. These are wise men that came from the east saying, "Where is he? Where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews? We've studied. We've come at great expense. We've brought gifts. We've brought tribute for the king. We've left our home. We've left our family." Now, it doesn't tell us that they left their family, so I'll bring that up. But let's just say they came from Babylon, 2 years' journey. Clearly, this affected their family. If they brought their family with them, they left their home. And they've been on the road for 2 years with camels, which apparently isn't that great of a way to travel. But they've been on the road for 2 years. If they left them home, then they're not at home for 2 years with their family. So this has greatly affected everybody around them. But they've come to worship the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. Now what joy these wise men felt upon the sight of the star. What joy we feel when we finally see the light of Jesus after living so long in the darkness. We live our lives in temptation, under the spirit of bondage. But now we live and receive the spirit of adoption as children of God. Now we're not to be disappointed in our walk. That's an interesting statement. We're not to be disappointed in our walk. So looking at the scene in Matthew chapter 2 through human eyes, one might suspect that the Magi were disappointed. So they come all this way. They come to Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem's no great shakes. They just were in Jerusalem, which is, you know, the capital. It's beautiful. There's all these wonderful things. There's a temple. And they come to Bethlehem, which is really a place with cottages. And no doubt, the place where they found Jesus was a little cottage. And they come and they find Joseph, a carpenter, and his wife. And they see this. But they weren't disappointed when they found Jesus with Joseph and Mary. We read that when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. They found the promised king in a humble setting and rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And I wrote Selah here. Most of you know what that means. It means pause and consider. So think about this. When was the last time that you rejoiced? Okay, so I see parents rejoice when a baby's born. And in fact, the day I shared this with Sydney, I don't usually cry up here. The day Lizzie died, I got a text from Greg saying that Lizzie didn't wake up. And I was at peace because I love Lizzie. Lizzie's with the Lord, and Lizzie's quality of life was diminishing, and I'm happy for her. Not happy for her kids, but I'm happy for her. But as I walked out of the hospital, there was a young kid, young to me, probably 30, with his wife, and he was the proudest man on the earth. Had a little carriage, and there was a little baby boy in there. And they were truly rejoicing. It was awesome. And I just thought, you know, it's all part of life. Life and death. Anyway, sorry. So we see a parent rejoice. Okay, so that's rejoicing. So what's the difference between rejoicing and greatly rejoicing? Well, I had the opportunity to go fishing this year with Gary and his son, and his son's friend and Gary's friend. And on that fishing trip, Gary's son revealed to him that they were going to have another baby. Now, it's one thing to rejoice. That's when you're happy. And it's another thing to jump up and down and smile and laugh for 2 hours. So that would be greatly rejoicing. And that's what I see grandparents do. And so that's kind of cool. And that's what these Magi did. So they sought the Christ child that was promised in the Holy Scriptures. They pursued him for years, for many miles, at great expense to themselves, and no doubt to their families. There is great joy involved in finding Christ, the Anointed One. By the way, the name Christ means the Anointed One. That's the translation. We are to have this heart of the wise man, of the wise men that falls down and worships him. They brought treasures to him, the costliest items in the world. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These gifts represented the very best that they possessed. Contrast this with Herod. When he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, he was exceedingly angry and decided to kill all the children in Bethlehem and in all its surrounding villages. Herod wanted no threat to exist to his kingdom. He sought to kill off what God had promised. For hundreds of years, through the prophets, we know that there's 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. So it's hundreds and hundreds of years ago that this was predicted. And God has this. So Herod was, in essence, trying to make himself greater than God. He thought that he could get rid of the promised king. But we know that man's plans are nothing compared to the will of our God. Mike, can I get an amen? So whose heart did you have this Christmas? Whose heart do you have today? Whose heart do you want to have this coming year? Do you have the heart of Herod? He was ignorant because he didn't seek after the knowledge of the Messiah. He was full of envy because Christ may interfere with his selfish ambitions. He was angry because others had a focus on Jesus and not on him and his kingdom. Do you have the heart of the wise men from the east? Are you seeking Scripture to find the Christ, the anointed one that was promised? Do you rejoice when others find Jesus and when others succeed in their pursuits? Are you rejoicing with exceedingly great joy when you learn about your Lord, where He is, what He looks like, who He is? Do you fall down humbly and worship Him with all your heart? Do you bring Him the very best you have to offer? Are you willing to give Him yourself 100%? And then, I was just kind of blessed by the dreams in this chapter. I haven't ever had an angel appear to me in a dream. I haven't ever had a dream where somebody said, go here, go do this. If the Lord appeared to you in a dream, like He did to Joseph and to the wise men, would you do what He said? I mean, we read about Joseph in this dream. He gets a dream, God tells him what to do. In the next verse, he's gone. You know, that probably wasn't that easy. In fact, he's not even gone in the morning. You know, I mean, he has the dream. He's up there, gone at night. As we face this new year of 2014, let us be like the wise men and pursue Jesus Christ, whatever the cost, whatever the path. And let us rejoice that we have found Him and bring Him the best that we have. Amen. Alleluia.